My name is Carrie, as Eric said, and I grew up as a missionary kid in West Africa, in Nigeria. And Nigeria is the most populated country in Africa, so we had lots and lots of people all around. And we lived in the north of Nigeria, which is kind of dry savanna land. Some people call it the beginning of the Sahara Desert. In January, we would have huge dust storms roll in from the Sahara. And the north also has a very strong Muslim influence. My parents were two missionary physicians, and they ran a small bush hospital. Growing up, that is what I wanted to do. I wanted to grow up to be a doctor and to go back overseas somewhere and serve like my parents did. So I graduated this past May from Union College with a French degree because I wanted to go back to Africa, and with my pre-med requirements. And I decided that I wanted to take a year off to get medical experience. So I did the SM process, and I ended up in Honduras this last August for working in a hospital and laboratory. And my plan, and notice that pronoun, possessive adjective, my plan was to move back to the States in December and to move to Loma Linda area so that I could get settled, find a church, build a support group, take some classes, and also gain more medical experience before medical school. So my parents live in Northern California, and I came back in December from Honduras, and I started looking for a job, and I'm a phlebotomist, and I found a job in a laboratory. I found a roommate from college, and we found an apartment together, and everything was working out. I found classes, and I was home one last Sabbath before moving down to Loma Linda. And we had a guest speaker come and speak who only spoke that one Sabbath, and he spoke about personal witnessing. And I didn't sleep very well that week. I was wrestling with God. I was like, oh, well, can I still move to Loma Linda? I called the Southern Conference and their evangelism department and was trying to see if I could Bible work and learn some of the skills while still moving down there. And I never reached any person when I called the office. And I never had any of my calls returned. And so I finally submitted to what I felt God was calling me to do. And called AFCO, called Denise. Yes, they were still accepting applications, even though it's past the deadline. And so then I asked my mom, Mom, how do I give a 2-week notice for a job I haven't started yet? So God worked many things out and enabled me to find another house for the roommate I was supposed to live in, and just worked it out. I called my mentors from college that had given me references all the way through, who knew I was supposed to be in Loma Linda, and said, could you send a reference to AFCO for me? And my pastor back in Nebraska sent within 30 seconds. He was like, it's as good as done. And all of them were within 2 days. So I got my acceptance letter and ended up at AFCO. So I was convicted that God has given us a personal command to go and share what we know. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want to tell you another story from growing up. So as I said, my parents were missionary doctors running a hospital. And one day as my dad came out of the hospital, he met a Muslim man and they said hello, you know, greeted. And the man said his name was Isa, which in Hausa means Jesus. And my dad was like, oh, your name Jesus, you know, aren't you Muslim? So they started talking about Jesus, and they ended up studying together. And the man would come to the hospital usually because my dad didn't have enough time to leave and go anywhere else. So they would come and study for short bits of time. And one afternoon, my dad ended early, which is pretty rare for a small mission hospital for my dad to get any time off. And he took a local pastor, and they decided to go visit Isa and his village. And they had to ride a long ways. It was an hour or 2 hours bike ride away into the village across the trails. And when he walked into the village, Isa came out of his hut, and he was so happy. And he's like, my friend, it's so good to see you. And he'd never responded like that to my dad before. And my dad was like, Wow. Well, when did you know I was your friend? Was it when we started studying together, when we'd been talking for a while? And Issa said, no, I knew you were my friend when you put your 2 feet in my house. And my dad, the Holy Spirit spoke to my dad. And he said, you know, that is what Jesus has done for us. He came and put his 2 feet in our house. And was able to give Issa a picture, a personal connection that he hadn't made before. And the story makes me think, if Jesus came and put his 2 feet in our house, how important must it be for us to go and put our 2 feet in other people's houses? So Acts 10 tells a story of a devout centurion who feared God and said he prayed always. And God gave him a vision and sent an angel, called him Cornelius. And he responded, yes, Lord, what do you want to tell me? And the angel told him to send for Peter, who was in Joppa. So Cornelius called for 2 servants and a soldier and said, go here and you'll find Peter. And so the men went. And meanwhile, Peter is in Joppa, and he's on the roof of the house praying, hungry, waiting for lunch. And you know the story, the sheep that comes down and the unclean animals. And Peter is told to eat. And he's like, no way. I'm not. But he's told 3 times. And God made it clear to him that no man is unclean. And the men arrived and told Peter while they were there, and he went with them. And he put his 2 feet in that man's house and shared the good news with them. Peter was beginning to understand God's vision for us to take the gospel to the whole world. And Ellen White has, I'm going to quote, read from Evangelism, page 436. Your success will not depend so much on your knowledge and accomplishments as upon your ability to find your way to the heart. By being social and coming close to the people, you may turn the current of their thoughts more readily than by the most able discourse. The presentation of Christ and the family by the fireside and in small gatherings in private houses is often more successful in winning souls to Jesus than our sermons. I'm going to tell you one last story. About 2 years after we've been in Nigeria, my parents decided to put on a health expo in the church. So they arranged all the wooden benches and set up booths and had like the New Start elements, what we're familiar with here, and places to weigh people, and some things that we might not have here, like a booth on how to purify your water by boiling it, a booth on what to eat. Oftentimes there they gave the green leafy vegetables to the goats because they thought that wasn't good to eat and they would eat the goats later. So after that whole expo was over, a man came up to my mom and said, you missionaries have been here for 2 years. Why didn't you tell us this before? It's like, my brother died a year ago from typhoid, from unclean water. Why didn't you tell us this before? And you knew. We have a message even more urgent than clean water. We have the everlasting gospel to tell. And Romans 10:13-15 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Will you go and put your 2 feet in someone's house that needs to hear the gospel? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you're an amazing God, and we praise you. We see so many things around us that just can't help but bring our minds your amazing power, from the mountains to the trees, to everything around us. And Lord, you are so gracious to us human beings. And Lord, thank you for giving us your gospel to share. And Lord, I just ask that you send your Holy Spirit on us and enable us to go forth and to put our feet in people's houses and to tell them what you have done for us. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.